You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Reckless speculation.
Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday to all who celebrate. It's a scoop session with our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson, 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. He'll give us a Byron Buxton update later on in the podcast, but let's speculate recklessly on a couple things. I know you're still waiting for some more information to come in on mediation, Wolves mediation, ownership mediation day yesterday. Chris Finch had surgery, successful surgery, it sounds like. But can we speculate recklessly on how this is going to work with Finchie in Denver? Like in at Target Center, they can maybe put him in a suite with like a little communication piece. There's talk maybe about them clearing out some seats and him sitting like a little further back with his leg extended. You know, what do we think?
Well, happy Reckless Speculation Thursday. Good to see you gentlemen. Let's kick off May, Reckless Speculation Thursday, May, with a bang, I suppose. I think the idea is, I don't have full clarity. I think they're still working through, like as of last night, my sense was they were still working through exactly what Saturday will look like. Heck, working through the logistics of getting Chris on a private jet to Denver with the team leaving later today, but Chris not leaving with the team later today. Give him a little bit more rest time, recovery time here into Friday. Could even fly out Saturday morning. We'll get clarity on the start time on Saturday night later today, but to me, like I think one of these teams ends up forcing a game 7, whether that's Milwaukee or Philadelphia. So if either forces a game 7, we are looking at an 8:30 Central time, more like 8:45 Central time start time on Saturday night, 7:30, 7:45-ish Mountain time. So that would allow enough leeway, enough runway for Chris, if he wants to fly privately on Saturday morning versus sometime on Friday. But like, they want him somewhere in the bench vicinity, Phil. So I think it's what you sort of laid out. Like, yes, he needs to be able to extend the leg, elevate the knee, but there's enough room. Like, all these teams now have like a million coaches, right? Like, it seems like every player has like his own developmental coach. I mean, it is unbelievable compared to like 20 years ago to now how bigger each staff is. So, like, there's all sorts of room second row, right? We think about that first row players, main coaching staff, but that second row, all those developmental coaches, like there's room. Like you can clear out a seat or two, you know, put him closest to, you know, like the scorer's table, right? With some buffer there. So like there's no way anybody could crash into him. Like that to me is the ideal way to utilize him. Because if he's up in a suite at Ball Arena on Saturday and Monday, like, what does that communication exactly look like? I know there are mechanisms.
And then the Nuggets would screw with the communication signal, too. They could tap into it.
Yeah. So, anyway, so I know the Wolves want to find a way, and there should be enough room, second row, create enough separation, you know, end line, you know, where, you know, the out-of-bounds line is to where he will be seated, able to elevate that right leg. You know, after undergoing the right knee surgery, that there is a way to make it work. That's what the Wolves are at least hopeful for. But I know, like, as of last night, they were still kind of working through what exactly that could look like. You know, just the setup there, the visitor bench area at Ball Arena. But in an ideal world, he's going to be close to the bench, not way up in a suite. But I'm just saying, in this moment, I don't have the definitive answer.
If he can't be, do we know if there are rules allowing or not allowing the potential for communication devices? Because at one point, Mike Anori early in the week talked about Finchie might be in the locker room and I might be on a headset. And it read like a serious quote. And I know that he is a fun, loving guy. But are there rules against like communications? Because the one thing I'd be curious about is if is if, to your point, the league says, problem with that is if he's too close and gets run into, it could be a huge problem because, again, he's not a young man. He's not, I mean, this is a very severe thing. So, like, if he does have to be in a suite or away or you know, in front of a bunch of TVs, are there ways to have a communication device that the league actually allows?
I've not heard of any sort of communication device being allowed, right? Because, like, think about, like, if that was allowed, wouldn't you have somebody multiple rows up, you know, with every applicable angle on replays, like when to challenge, when not to challenge? Like, if that
somebody behind the opposing bench over there?
Yeah, so, I mean, unless I'm missing something, Judd, I'm glad you brought it up.
The Suns are going to do.
Right, yep. But, like, there are so many different things that, you know, teams could utilize if you had somebody multiple rows up or, you know, wherever in the arena, you know, with a walkie-talkie or whatever the mechanism would be. So I am unaware of something like that being allowed.
Do we know if Mark, Alex, and Glenn are going to be able to move from this, whatever happened in mediation yesterday? And I know you're still awaiting some more specific information. Are they going to travel all together then to Denver? I'm assuming they're all going to be in Denver. They were all in Phoenix.
Yes. You
know, are we going to pay for two private jets?
Yeah, I anticipate they all will be in Denver. I do not anticipate them all being on the same flight. Now, hey, right? Not that money is an issue for just about any of them, right? In terms of just having a private jet for one night or one day or whatever it is. But I anticipate, Phil, could you imagine that flight? Now, hey, recall before game one of the Phoenix series, the awkward, you know, interaction backstage of Target Center.
A-Rod, yeah, Glenn tried to hug Glenn, Alex at one point, I think.
Glenn's
yeah.
interaction with Mark's girlfriend. Just the whole thing was so weird. It was described to me as just, I wish I was there. I was stuck in Des Moines for Drugie's baseball. But my God, I would have loved to have witnessed that. I would have loved to have been in that room with former Judge Rick Sulum yesterday. I mean, he's been present in a lot of different sports, you know, type situations here in town with the Vikings, Chris Cluey way back in the day. So, you know, I'm told, you know, this former judge is incredibly fair. But I will also tell you, you know, my sense from the Mark and Alex side is, like, they don't anticipate any sort of solution being reached here this week. That there is a sense that Glenn wants to push this thing out as far as humanly possible.
So, though, just to clarify, you heard that all three of those owners, Glenn, Mark, and Alex, they were all part of mediation with
that
their
was the
representation.
Idea. Yes, I had heard that before. It would have been after I joined you guys last because I was looking for clarity, so I chased it after our conversation on Tuesday. So that would have been Tuesday afternoon that I heard that the idea was they would all be present. I am waiting for an update, you know, following what took place yesterday. So if that changed, I'll let you know. But on Tuesday afternoon, that was the sense that Mark, Alex, Glenn would all be present.
Are the steps of this thing, Dugues, league mandated? Like, is it the league?
Well, no,
said,
it's the
hey,
contract
start,
mandated,
the contract.
Right? It's the 47-page
okay.
contract that's on
the league has said
court
go
listener
through the
website. Yeah,
right.
Go through the league contract. Has said go through the steps of the contract, mediation, and then arbitration, and go through all. It's your mess. You guys agreed to this, and then once that happens, but that's the beauty of this. They could go through all of this. And then the NBA Board of Governors could still say in like August or something, right. Oh, thanks for all the trouble, but we disapprove of your ownership.
Does the contract say that the arbitration is binding? So if this, I mean, because it's not going to get done with this. So when they go to an arbitrator and the ruling comes down, is that binding then to send the decision to the league on approval? So like if A-Rod and Laurie, if the arbitrator says, sorry, Glenn, this contract is ironclad, and then is the next step a lawsuit probably, or just go right to the NBA Board of Governors? And like Phil just said, if they say, sorry, A-Rod and Mark, no, then it defaults back to Glenn.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this much. Like, if it gets all the way to the NBA Board of Governors, then they ultimately, like Phil, as you laid out, let's say it's August because my sense is arbitration would be like July. Like it's not next week or something like that. Like it's multiple months out still. And so let's say, okay, you know, in arbitration, Because, like, you can read that 47-page contract, and I was told from 2021, like, there haven't been any changes. That was my big thing. Have there been any changes to that contract over the last couple of years? I was told by multiple people, no. What is on that website, courtlistener.com, from the Meyer Orbach situation back in 2021, that 47-page contract is the contract. Everybody can literally read that contract. If you read through it, Mark and Alex have a really, really good case. But, Phil, it's what you said. Ultimately, let's say in arbitration, Mark and Alex win, okay? I think that's entirely possible. The NBA Board of Governors still needs to approve them as majority owners. That, to me, could be the sticking point in all of this. That, to me, then, is there some sort of lawsuit if the NBA Board of Governors denies them majority ownership.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can I recklessly speculate that it would be one of the most glorious things in the history of sports in this town, and there have been a lot of things good and bad, if the Timberwolves win the NBA championship, Adam Silver, because the presentation here, it's not like the Stanley Cup. It goes to the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up there?
It's because Glenn, at that I told time, you. 100%
No,
Glenn.
I know, but Mark and Alex will be at the game. Do they try to get up there as well?
Well, they don't know. I mean, they don't own the team.
Well, but they own 36%.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
coming
a good
to all
chunk.
The games.
Well, Mark owns like 28% or whatever it is.
But how many other minority owners are up, like, accepting it? I mean, it's the majority. The majority owner gets the trophy. It's Glenn. It's freaking Glenn.
It is
I'm not
Glenn.
Saying accept. No, but my point is not accepting it. I'm saying just on the podium alone.
Yeah.
Because they'd have every right to be up on the podium.
But no, they wouldn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't
it's
be
Glenn,
up there.
Judd. What do you? Yeah, it's Glenn.
It would be absolutely. I'm just saying it could get really ugly and glorious.
Could you imagine Bob Getters or, you know, security guy Adams, right? Like, which way do I go? Like,
escort him away?
Should I kind of let them slide by and get up to the podium? Or do I need to, like, do my job here because it is Glenn's show and I got to hold them back?
I mean Glenn will make it very clear to anyone involved. If it gets to that point, Glenn will make it very clear. This is my time on the podium. These guys do not own the majority of the team. They will make sure. But to Judd's point, these playoff games so far, guess who's sitting around the court on the road? Guess who's backstage, you know, in the tunnel catching guys as they come off the court?
Who's Ant pump, you know, pound his chest at?
Yeah, but then there's
all
other videos where, I mean, Glenn walks into the locker room.
I mean, it's certainly Glenn at some point,
Anthony
right?
Edwards.
Glenn's the one signing the check, ultimately.
I'm just saying, God, it'd be fun.
So, Doogie, on the series itself, and we'll get your Buxton update here in a second. Judd and I were doing Flagrant Howls yesterday, and we both kind of agreed. It feels like, first of all, the Nuggets are a force. So let's not make it sound like this is a great match. I mean, this is going to be a war if you win this series, 6-7 games, whatever it is. But it feels to me like if you go back to their series a year ago, the Nuggets are a notch worse or lesser. You know, they lost a couple key bench players. Was it Bruce Brown who went to the Pacers and the Raptors?
Oh,
he was like a plus.
Yeah,
he was like a plus 40 in that series
Bruce
off
Brown
the bench.
Was so good last year. So was Jeff Green. Yeah,
and Jamal Murray dealing with a calf injury right now. He's clearly grinding through it. So it feels to me like the Nuggets are like a touch lesser than last year, and the Wolves feel like they are maybe levels better than last year. With first of all, Nikhil Alexander-Walker has taken a big step forward. Jaden McDaniels did not play last year in the series. Naz Reid did not play in the series. Anthony Edwards is better. Gobert is healthier. Chemistry, gelling, everything. So is that? Do you agree with that assessment? And is that enough to say that the Wolves are winning this series?
I agree with that assessment. Let's not forget Kyle Anderson, who I think will have a bigger role in this series compared to the Phoenix series. He missed a game in that Denver series. So, yeah, no Jaden, no Naz, then no Kyle Anderson for one game. Rudy Gobert is a bigger difference maker on the offensive end compared to last year. Anthony Edwards, you're right, Phil, has elevated even to another level, right? He was very good last year. The Wolves are 8-8 in their last 16 matchups with the Denver Nuggets. The Wolves, to me, offer the best chance to knock off the Denver Nuggets. Like, I don't think I'm going out on a limb. The winner of this series is going to represent the Western Conference in the finals. That's where crazy. Denver has an edge. They are so good in crunch time. If you go back multiple years, there is not a better crunch time team in the league than the Denver Nuggets. This core has been together for a while. They are so, so good those final 4 minutes. Right? So what can the Wolves do? Now, hey, like, small sample size, but like, you look at the Wolves, the offense against Phoenix, right? Number one offensive rating. Now, was that just matchup based? Was that just Phoenix? Does that mean anything? But the Wolves offense is humming right now. Cat has to stay out of foul trouble. I imagine to start the game on Saturday night, Cat will guard Jokic, right? Because you want Gobert
stop
by the basket.
Effing fouling.
Yeah, so Gobert is guarding Gordon. Now, hey, Gobert will be on Jokic at times. You'll throw Nas at Jokic. You'll throw Kyle Anderson at Jokic. You'll throw a lot of guys at Jokic. But I think to start the game, Cat is on Jokic. Can Cat stay out of foul trouble? Then, yeah, I mean, Jamal Murray looked great the other night, but, you know, what is his calf situation? I don't know how Kentavious Caldwell-Pope contains Ant, right? So how many different bodies? Does Watson come off the bench to guard Ant for long stretches? Christian Brown, who had a good game against the Wolves in one of those regular season games, right? So, like, they don't have a lot of depth, though. You think about the Wolves' depth,
right?
Right? Because Monte Morris will play enough in this series, right? So the Wolves go a legit 9 deep. Does Denver go even a legit 8 deep? Like, okay, no, Watson off the bench, Brown off the bench. Who else do you trust off the bench? DeAndre Jordan, really?
Right.
Reggie Jackson? I mean, Reggie's going to play, but
he'll play.
It'd be hard for me to trust Reggie. Like, if Reggie is out there, the Wolves better win those minutes. But, like, I don't get the Wolves now. Hey, some of the money the last 24 hours has come in on the Wolves winning this series. But the Wolves opened at plus 195 to win this series. That is a pretty healthy underdog, right? When you're betting $100 to win $195. Denver was something like minus 225 or minus 230, needing to bet $225 or $230 to win just $100. I don't get that. I really don't. I think this is going to be a long series. Now, hey, I misread the first round. Now, I didn't buy, Phil, all the people that said, hey, Phoenix in four. I heard a lot of that, right? Phoenix in four or Phoenix in five. I never bought that. I thought it would be a 6 or 7 game series, but never in a million years did I think the Wolves could win in four. But as I read right now, heading into game one, like, Phil, I have a hard time believing that this series, like, finishes in four or five. Like, to me, minimum, this series is going six, and I absolutely can see a seventh game.
So can you take this all and extrapolate a little bit of this from the Phoenix series in the following? Does it make sense that you are going to be willing to give Joker his points? You obviously try to get him from stop being as multidimensional, but that you're really, your biggest concern is Murray. Because, like, to go back to game one, we all thought, how are you going to stop Durant? And then there's Booker. And the Wolves were sort of like, okay, no, Durant can have his. But if he's the only one getting his, that's cool. And they turned out to be exactly right. I'm not saying you punt on Joker, but I am saying, do they actually put the focus on Murray?
Well,
more so.
What they're punting is a relative word, but what they've done successfully to be 8-8 against this team. I mean, I think that's pretty successful, you know, 8-8 against the best team
in the
world.
That includes the playoffs last year too, by the way. So in the last 16 games, including the playoffs last year, it's 8-8. So going back 16 games, Wolves have won 8, Denver has won 8.
So what they've done largely is put Kat or Nas, when Nas is in the game, on Jokic and have Rudy Gobert on Aaron Gordon ready to help. And so it's Gobert is kind of like a rover off of Jokic, but he can and he'll be on Jokic sometimes. So that's something to watch. But I feel like sometimes the guy who kills the Timberwolves, because you just – you can't account for everything in Jokic's playmaking. Like when Michael Porter Jr. goes 5 of 8 from three, it's just a backbreaker. Like they have a way of getting some of these other guys going in these games against the Wolves. I mean, Aaron Gordon, all of a sudden Gobert is paying attention to helping over here on Jokic and boom, Aaron Gordon breaks free on a cut or a mid-range shot. This chess match is going to be highly interesting.
You bring up Michael Porter Jr. The leap he has taken this year. Heck, just to stay in the court as much as he has. But, I mean, he is playing his best basketball. You know, so what sort of difference maker will Michael Porter Jr. Be? And this will be a big Nikhil Alexander-Walker series. You go back to last year, Murray played really well when anybody was guarding him, not named Nikhil Alexander-Walker. When Nikhil was guarding Jamal last year in the playoffs, Jamal's shooting percentage was, I don't know if it was 32%, 31%. I mean, it wasn't good, right? But he kicked butt when anybody else was guarding him. So to me, this is a really, really big gnaw series.
Yep. Okay, let's get that Buxton update here in just a brief moment after we shamelessly plug the new Flagrant Howls gear.
Ooh, nice.
In the Scornarth shop, scornarth.com/shop. Dex gets to write that down point for Wolves culture being on a shirt. Break every record. You may have seen a tweet on the internet that said break every record. So break every record and Wolves culture at scornarth.com/shop. We also have the JJ to JJ merch, the Before I Die hoodie that Judd is sporting right now. And a shout out to our friends at Dennis Kirk. So it's riding season today, not really, because it's just pouring rain here in the Twin Cities. But if you ride a motorcycle, an ATV, a UTV, a dirt bike, or even snowmobile during winter season, Dennis Kirk is here with 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories for your ride. And same-day shipping and free shipping on all orders over $89. They have financing plans. They have a ride finder tool that you can use on their website, DennisKirk.com. Okay, it's always concerning when Byron Buxton pulls up with knee aggravation. So what can you tell us here, Dukes?
There is optimism that he has avoided a major injury. There's even optimism that he will not need to go on the 15-day injured list. Now, I get it that they are going to do some imaging today, but the initial diagnosis, the initial checking on him post-game yesterday in Chicago, there is optimism that he has escaped something major. Now, hey, there are going to be people that consume this conversation that say, well, it's inevitable, right? Okay, he escaped it this time. It's inevitable, right? Give it another week, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Like, it's inevitable. He's going to get hurt. But, like, he's been good, right? And he has certainly enough to do with this 10-game winning streak. So does playing the White Sox all these games and even the Angels, who played like garbage last weekend. But it's not like the Twins need to apologize for winning all these games. So credit to them. But, yes, there is optimism that Buck will not need to miss extended time.
This goes back, though, to what Rocco now said 2 years ago, though, right? It's the chronic nature. It's why I actually like this plan. Just play him. And if it hurts, because I didn't sense that when he, like, limped off or walked off, as the freaking umpire said, hurry off the field.
Hurry up.
These umps are nuts.
Give me a break,
Yeah, exactly right. But I didn't sense that he was like really, really hurt. I just think this comes back to his right knee flares up, and it's going to flare up for the rest for the rest of his life.
Yes.
So like, I don't see this as an oh my god, this is really it for Buxton. But again, it's why I agree with the Twins' philosophy, which is screw it, we're just going to play you. If it starts to hurt, you tell us, we'll take you out. But this whole thing of we're going to rest you on Tuesdays and then we're going to rest you on Thursdays, but we're going to play you on Mondays. It's like no, just see what you can get from him and go from there. So, like, I just think, Dukes, that this is just part and parcel of the plan that's going to be the rest of Byron Buxton's career.
Yeah. Now, Declan, has he been out of the lineup a handful of times the last 2 weeks or three or four times?
Definitely, they didn't start him as much as they did through the first, like, 3 or 4 weeks of the season. He had a couple off days on the road trip that were just, like, regular off days, where he didn't play center.
So they are trying to mix in maybe a few more off days.
Sure. But I would say through the first like 20 games a season, I'm pretty sure he started like 18 or 19. Like he was an Iron Man. He was in the lineup playing center for the majority of the season.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly what you said, Judd. Like once you get your knee surgically repaired, it's never going to be quite the same. Right? Anybody who's experienced any sort of knee surgery, I have an ACL that was repaired back in 2002, right? And there are still times 22 years later where my left knee, I'm like, ooh, okay, yeah, just feels a little off, gave out on
clicks
me.
A little.
Yeah. So
you did slow down. I didn't know why.
Oh, yeah.
So 2003 when I drafted 4.3
speed
you,
and 0.1, and then all of a sudden I'm, 6.2
speed.
Yeah.
You know, I did that K-Fan draft, and I was wondering, why did Doogie, why did I take him first round? He was so good last year, and now I find out you had an ACL repair.
So anyway, so there is optimism on Buck. On Royce Lewis, so Declan, like, I'm confused. So somebody in town had some sort of report that Royce might be out until mid-July. Have you talked about this, Declan?
So I heard, I believe it was Lavelle Neal reported that he had the quad tore off the bone, and that would be at least mid-July, July 4th. For him to come back. Now, the quad could have torn off the bone initially. That could have happened, like when it first happened on opening day. But if the quad tore off the bone, it would have either happened initially or within the last week. Like it wouldn't have just fallen off the bone within the last, like the middle of his rehab. So I haven't heard similar things on that. I know his last doctor visit was a week ago today before they left for their road trip. Now the Twins are back. He did not travel on that road trip. He remained back in the Twin Cities. So I'm not sure about that timeline, but I'm sure now that we've had the last doctor visit, we will probably get an update on the next plan of Byron Buxton's rehab and maybe a potential return too.
Okay,
So let me piggyback on what you just said, Declan, from somebody directly involved. That info that you threw out there, you said it was Lavelle. One of my favorite people. Great usher in my wedding, Phil. That was a great day. Judd, you were there. Anyway, I was
actually,
told.
Judd wasn't.
Judd was not there, actually.
Not
Judd.
I was at the correct info at all.
Steelers Vikings. Sorry.
Oh, you were
that.
At Steelers Vikings. That's right. Yeah, you were.
Dawn
yeah.
wasn't. She was incredibly drunk with her friend.
That's right. Hard to remember everybody. Anyway, I don't have a perfect timeline. I'm just reading this out loud. Yeah, they don't expect it to be July at all. Yeah, so whatever was thrown out about July, the Twins don't believe that, put it that way. So anyway, okay. Like it's not like he's on the cusp of coming back or starting a rehab assignment, so it's still going to be some time, but suggesting that it's going to be July, like no, like the Twins don't feel that way, put it that way.
Okay. Hey, I know you got to get going here in like 2 minutes, so give us some rapid fire scoops. What's left in your scoop bag, dude?
Well, I mean, I hinted at this on Tuesday. It came to fruition on Wednesday. Cam Christie. I mean, the money is just, it's ridiculous. It really is, because building a relationship, being a good recruiter, doesn't matter anymore. And I can't fault these kids. Like the feedback, my understanding is the feedback that Cam has gotten has been pretty lukewarm. Now he'll go have some workouts for teams, may get a combine invite or a G League combine invite. So he'll have many more opportunities to impress scouts. And it's a weak draft. So like it's entirely possible Cam keeps his name in the draft, gets drafted, signs like a 4-year deal, the last 3 years non-guaranteed, but that first year guaranteed, that he can go start his professional career. That is absolutely in play. But if he plays college basketball next year, which is also very much in play, it's not going to be at Minnesota, and it was going to be at Minnesota as of a week ago, right? So just everything changes. Agents have a lot of power right now, but it's a lot of programs initiating contact with agents, so it's not necessarily agents always initiating this stuff. But then when you hear the money being tossed about, think about Pharrell Payne. He got North. I know Royce threw off $500,000. That was the get-in price. Like, if you want Pharrell, it'll take you a minimum of $500,000. I was told in the end, it's north of $500,000 with Texas A&M. Like, Dave Thorson built up this great relationship going back to, you know, Pharrell's junior year, sophomore year at Cottage Grove, Park Cottage Grove. Those don't matter anymore.
What's the most that we being the Gophers, like, what is there? Are there any documented like $250,000? Like, what are we paying for basketball?
Here's
players?
What I'll tell
Nothing?
You. So Pharrell Payne is getting north of $500,000 at Texas A&M. The entire Gopher roster right now doesn't touch that.
So we're a feeder.
So what are we doing?
The Gophers pool right now is like $340,000, $350,000. Now, hey. Dawson Garcia, you want to give some love to some guys, give some love to Dawson Garcia. He could have made a lot more money elsewhere. Now, hey, he's going to shoot a commercial tomorrow with Dakota Fitness down in the South Metro. So, you know, he's got some endorsement opportunities, and he loves playing for his home state school. But, like, if Dawson wanted to make more money, and, hey, don't get me wrong, you know, of all the Gophers, trust me, he's getting taken care of. He's making good money. But, like, I think about, you know, Nate Heisey, who's going to Iowa State. And it was close. Like, he had a lot of pull to come play for his home state, you know, team. And it's 140-ish at Iowa State. And the offer here was significantly less. Right? Now, there's a lot of reasons. Right? It wasn't just money. right? And he laid that out with me. But I'm just saying, in the end, when you look at that, when you say, okay, you can make so much more in Ames, plus I think Iowa State's got a chance to be preseason top 10 next year, so that's a great program. Why wouldn't you go that direction compared to what the Gophers are able to offer? I don't blame any of these kids. Elijah Hawkins put out on social media that he was back for a reason. Then this agent gets involved, right? And next thing you know, Elijah Hawkins is at Texas Tech.
That's fine. I don't blame the agent. I don't blame the player.
No, I don't. I'm just saying, but...
Where's the money?
It's hard.
Show me the money. Where's the money?
It's really, really hard. I mean, this will sound outlandish, but if you think about it, like... Somebody should step forward and say, I want to own the Gophers basketball program. Just like Glenn Taylor owns the Timberwolves, I want to be the owner. So I will hire and fire the coach. I will have full control. Somebody should step forward and say, I've got millions upon millions of dollars. I'm willing to buy players. It's free agency, pay for play. It's not NIL, it's pay for play. But let me be the owner. Forget it, Mark Coyle. Off to the side, you as the AD. I am the owner of the Gophers basketball program. I know it sounds outlandish. It's not going to happen. But that's, to me, like what it almost feels like.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
Doogie.
Wow. Reckless Speculation Thursday. Great scoop session here with Darren Doogie Wolfson, the 5 Eyewitness News sports department. And we'll do it again a couple times next week.
Okay. Sounds good, boys. Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, there he is. Man. All right, boys. Happy Reckless Speculation Thursday.
Reckless Speculation.
On Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.